Today I want to really share a word with you that, as we continue in a series on faith, that's particularly very close to my heart because it deals with prayer. And if you'll turn with me over to Mark 11, 23 through 25. And the message I want to speak to you today is entitled, Faith Has a Partner. And in this particular scripture and other scriptures that I'll be showing to you this morning and speaking into your heart, my prayer has been that it'll come alive so deeply in your spirit that prayer will become a very strong part of your characteristic as a Christian, something that is applicable every day of your life. And this gentleman said to me yesterday, he said, don't you think Christians overemphasize things? And I said, well, what do you mean? Because certainly I'm not going to answer that kind of a question until I know what he's saying. He said, well, you know, you said today in prayer that you pray in the morning and you pray in the afternoon, you pray at night. Don't you think you're overemphasizing prayer? And I said, not at all. Prayer is important. You know, I'm called to pray. He says, well, it's such a burden. I said, prayer is not a burden to me. It's a joy. It's part of my walk with God, and Christians should be praying. Well, he tried to debate it over and over again, but I kept on telling him that prayer is important. We're not overemphasizing anything when it comes down to prayer. It's something that God wants to do, is he wants to communicate with us on a regular basis. Well, it ended with him just saying thank you, and he turned and walked away. But I really believe that what he wanted me to do is to cowl to the extent of saying, you know, you're right, only pray once in a while and don't worry about it. But I'm here to tell you today that if you're going to walk in faith, you need to be a person of prayer. And read along with me here as Mark 11 and 23 through 25. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. I want you to really hear that. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I love the context of this scripture because it engulfs the very essence of faith and prayer working together. You know, you can pray without faith, and your prayers are going to fall to the ground. You know, I've heard people pray prayers somewhat similar to this, and maybe it's me. I'll be very frank with you and open. Maybe it's me. I'm not saying anybody's wrong here. I just don't get it. Okay, this simple-minded man does not get it. When they pray a prayer, when the Bible teaches that Jesus bore the stripes on his back, that we would be healed and that we are healed, and then they pray the prayer that says, if it be your will, heal me. You see, those words are doubtful words. That's like walking up to somebody and saying, I hope you can help me here. And you know that they can, but you say, I hope you can help me here. Could you loan me a dime? You follow what I'm saying? You know, we need to pray with faith. God, I believe you're going to heal me. I believe you're going to prosper me. The Bible says that God will prosper you. I believe, God, that you're going to fill me with your spirit. I believe God is going to fill you with his spirit. If we don't have faith, we're not going to get a reaction from God. Amen? It's just how it is. But there's something here I want to include with this verse in Mark 11 and 25, where it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Very important here. If we walk with the Lord and we walk with unforgiveness in our heart, our prayers have no power. It's so important that we grasp this. This is something that the church forgets, because they get caught up in the spiritualism, the sensationalism, the ability to pray in Jesus' name. They get caught up in the outward appearances, not the inward results. And what we need to understand is that everybody in this room, everybody in your family, everybody that's attending churches all over America needs to forgive one another. Needs to say, "I forgive you. Well, I didn't even know that I offended you." Well, you did, but I forgive you. And I don't want to hold you in prison in my heart. I don't want to remember what you said. I don't want to rehearse it. I don't want to nurse it. I don't want to be cursed by it. So I'm going to reverse it and forgive you. Or maybe it's strong enough for you or I, anyone, to walk up to a person and says, "You know, I know I offended you. I want you to forgive me." You see, forgiveness has a great watering by the word power into your life that stops things from happening that would be negative, but opens up the door to God's positive flow of his blessings in your heart by you forgiving one another. So when you're praying, you're partnering with faith, and when faith is partnering with prayer, there has to be a forgiveness, not unforgiveness, that is embracing you and keeping you from really receiving your blessing. So I just want to say this before I really begin to preach here, is this. If you have any ought against anyone, forgive them. If you know you've offended someone, go to them and ask for forgiveness. Don't carry it. Don't rehearse it. Don't nurse it. And don't allow it to curse you, but reverse it and let God bless you in your ability to say, "I forgive you," or "Would you forgive me?" So the forgiveness is very much in part of prayer. And then faith has a partner itself named prayer. So we have this ability to embrace prayer when we embrace it with faith. Now, if you go back there and you see there in verse 23, it says, "And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done." I want to encourage you today to pray with real belief, not with the sense of, "It's not going to happen. I'm just going to pray because I'm supposed to pray." But you're going to pray because you know that God's word, his word, is going to make sure it happens because he said it. And God fails not. God cannot lie. God promises something, it's going to come about. You say, "Pastor Adams, it has not come yet." Did you write it down? Do you have it hidden in your heart? It will come. Even though it may tarry, it will come to pass. "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." If we just trust in the living God and know that he's there for us, He will continue to bless us, but you need to believe. And you need to not doubt in your heart at all, because you will receive what you've prayed for. In John 14, 11 through 13, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Do you understand that there is a sense of walking with Jesus Christ, believing that he literally represents and is God? And if you don't want to believe that, he's kind of saying, look at these works. John the Baptist even said, are you the one? After he had gone through all that he had gone through and seen all that he had seen, he said, are you the one? From a prison. And sometimes, friend, when we're walking with God, we find ourselves locked in emotional prisons. Someone say good morning. We find ourselves in a place to where we are starting to doubt the existence of Christ in our life. And Jesus spoke back to him in a paraphrase. I'm saying this to you. He said, let him know that the sick are healed. Miracles are being produced. Let him know the works that I'm doing. And that woke John up to the effect of, even though I'm in a prison right now, he is still Jesus. He is the one. You see, you and I have to understand it. In verse 12 of John 14, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, there is a relationship there between the Father and the Son, but also in John 17, where Jesus said, make them one, even as you and I are one. You understand that there is a depth of God that in your heart that wants to come alive in your prayer life. To where when you begin to pray, you know that God is hearing your prayers, because you have faith that he hears your prayers, because the word says he hears your prayers. You have faith what you've asked in Jesus' name will come about, because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, if you believe, the Father will do it. It's in the word. The word is not wrong. The word is right. Let men be a liar, but God be true. God's word is there for you to look at. And when doubt shows, read the book and understand that the book says that God will take care of it. Amen. God will heal. God will save. God will promote. God will bless. God will prosper. God will do a miracle that men cannot do. I tell you, when I speak to addicts, when I speak to alcoholics, when I speak to people that are bound up in depths of sin, this is what I say. There's not a psychiatrist, and I believe in psychiatrists. There's not a clinical psychologist, and I believe in clinical psychologists. There's not a doctor, and I believe in doctors. My own son is a doctor. And let me tell you something. I say to them this. The one who can help you, the only one that can really help you, is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. That's who you need to turn to, and that's who you need to pray to, and that's who you need to have your faith in. Praise God. Don't put faith in men. Put your faith in God. Don't praise men. Praise God. Let's enter his courts with praise and into his gates with thanksgiving. Praise God. We need to always remember, men will fail. God fails not. He will never let you down. Praise God. You may have to wait, but thank God that he's given you the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit, I believe it's the fourth segment of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you need to apply that by having the Holy Ghost in you, moving in you, speaking to your heart, and you moving with the Holy Spirit when He says, move. You see, faith is needed to gain wisdom. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, and I want to read these to you because it's so important. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh man, I could preach there for a long time. You know, most people I know in a trial, their face looks like they just sucked on a dill pickle. You know, that was extra sour, and they just there in a trial, and you call them on the phone and they can't even talk because their lips are puckering so much. They're in a trial. They're just like bummed out. I'm in a trial. Well, friend, guess what? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what I just spoke about a moment ago, patience. Yep. Patience is what the church needs. Patience is what we need when we pray. That's why the enemy fights you when you go to bend your knee to pray. And that's why when you begin to really get into prayer, maybe you get to the travailing stage in prayer. And all of a sudden the enemy comes in and says, you got to go this way. You got to do this. The phone rings. The baby cries. What you should have wrote down, you didn't write down. You didn't record your latest TV show that's coming on. Oh, there's a radio program you wanted to listen to. Oh, I got to get this for dinner. You get all these thoughts and your travail goes down to a meditation. And all of a sudden you're off your knees and you're on your way to the TV. You're on your way to the grocery store. You're on your way to the stove. You're on your way to the phone. You're telling the baby to be quiet. You'll be right there. You're getting a diaper. And by the end of then, you're all done. Prayer somewhere in the distance, in the past. And you move on into a day without the strength of prayer. Amen. And your faith is weakened because you have not prayed. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Sometimes I'm afraid to ask people what they're lacking because that's going to be a whole lot more than what they've gained. Because their faith is so unbalanced. Their prayer life is somewhere in the history of their walk with Jesus. And they're counting on everybody else to pray, but they're not praying. And let me say this to you. Let me read this to you. I want to read it to you one more time. Please get this. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Which means, if you want wisdom, just ask Him. And He's going to pour it out to you. And my God, I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people that I'm asking God to give them wisdom. You know, I got all this debt. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where are you headed for now? I'm going down to the store with my credit card to buy a new wardrobe. There's somewhere there's a hole in that statement. You see, what I'm saying to you is He'll give you wisdom liberally and without reproach. In other words, you're not going to have reproach against you because you're going to be using God's wisdom. What made Solomon so mighty was not that he was good looking and tall and rich, but he wanted God's wisdom more than he wanted money. He wanted God more than he wanted the things of this earth. He wanted God's presence more than he wanted the presence of people to glorify Him. You see, we have to walk with that in our heart, knowing, and the Bible says it'll be given to you. Now, but let him ask in faith. Just don't ask in faith. In other words, believe you're going to get it. And asking means you're praying. When you're communicating with God, you're praying. Prayer does not have to be, oh God, the billowing clouds sweeping across the sky by the soft winds of your breath. I see the wheat blowing across the field and the daisies sparkling in the sunlight of the sun of your brightness shining upon them. The ocean glitters as a mirror, showing the spirit of your love dancing across the waters towards my lustrous heart that cries out to thee, O Lord. My goodness, why don't you just tell God what you need? Hey, God, I need some wisdom, and I believe you're going to give it to me because James chapter 1 says you will, and you'll give it to me liberally without reproach. And I'm asking you in faith because I don't want to lack anything. I want to move in the kingdom with you. I want to stay in step with you. And I don't want to make any decisions that is going to cause any reproach in my life, the church's life, my family's life, or in my kingdom walk with you. Amen. Give me faith. Give me wisdom. Give me prayer. Faith with no doubting, it says. No doubting. Doubt is your enemy. Fear is your flat tire. Doubting God is saying to God, I don't believe that you can do it. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, many of us, we're fortunate here today. You say, Pastor, why? I'm glad that you asked that question. We live by the sea. We live by a bay. We can drive an hour and a half from different locations and see the power of the ocean kissing the cliffs that God has presented us to view through the beauty of his creation. We see the waves coming in and going out. We see how they change shape and how they continue to come in and go out. We see them tear against nature and we see them pull back from where they're hit a solid wall. But let me say this to you. We can also get there. That because of that, we can understand this next statement. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, what I'm saying to you there, if we're like the sea coming in and going out, coming in and going out, coming in and going out, and we're never stable in what we believe, and never stable in our faith, and never stable in our prayer life, and never stable in our forgiveness of one another, and never stable in our walk with God, not disciplined to read this book, praise God, if you haven't read it, it's the greatest story ever told, praise God. It's a book that every time you read it, something fresh comes out of it. Amen. You know, I don't like to watch a movie more than once because once I see the end, why watch the movie? It's all about the ending to me. Now, not everybody's like that. Some people watch movies over and over and over and over. But you know what I can say about the Bible? I've read it so many times, I can't even remember how many now. Reading it through, I've read the Amplified, the NLT, the NASB, the New King James, the King James. I have read the Good News. I have read Bibles through just to watch their terminologies. I've read the NIV. And let me tell you something. I never get bored reading the stories about Jesus doing something. Even though I know that when he heals, that man's going to be healed. I still get excited about the healing and the power of the Holy Ghost doing something for someone who could not do it on their own, praise God, but had faith to believe that God would do it.
Amen.
Let's not be double-minded. Let's be single-minded and believe. Let's trust what God spoke to your heart. Has he spoke to your heart about your family? He will bring it to pass. Praise God. I tell you, I always thank God for my children, the four that we have, Kathy and I. I thank God for them. Yes, I've gotten gray hair over them, and yes, they have caused me to be on my knees, oh, so many hours, and oh, my goodness gracious, but I've never given up the hope that they all will be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I believe that. Praise God. And I know some of them are got their foot in the water still and they're hanging on to the boat, but I'm believing that all of a sudden they're going to be pulled into the boat because of the confession of their mouth. I believe. I don't waver in my doubt. I don't give up on that. Praise God. I believe that God is going to do a great work and a high anointing in this church. I was here worshiping today thinking, oh my goodness, I sense your presence, God. And I said, let it not be the same. Let it become a new and a fresh and a powerful word and a work that you'll do here, that you will be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. God rewards faith and prayer. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Man, I don't know about you. I'm going to stop there just for a moment. But I want to please God in my life. I want to please God. You know, and we're human beings. Everybody realize that you are. If you don't think you are, have your neighbor pinch you. You're going to say, ouch. Just don't pinch him on the elbow. There's no nerves there. You're going to say, ouch. Believe me, you're human. And we'll fail God. There'll be days when we won't please him. There'll be things we said we shouldn't have said. There'll be things that we do that we shouldn't have done. There'll be stuff that we wish we wouldn't have done. There'll be things we shouldn't have spent on things. There should be things that when the Holy Spirit gave you the check, don't do this, and you said, devil, get ye behind me, but it was the Holy Ghost trying to stop you from going into something you shouldn't go, but you discerned, my flesh wants this more than that check, so I'm going to blame it on the devil and I'm coming in. You are not Flip Wilson. The devil did not make you do it. Let me tell you, you made a decision on your own not to listen to God. But let me tell you, the loving God that we have, even though you have not listened, even though you may have made a mistake, he is always there to forgive you. He is always there to heal you. He is always there to mend those wounds. He is always there to lift you up. He's always there to undergird you. He's always there to wrap his everlasting arms around you, draw you in close that you can lay your head upon his bosom and you can feel the breath of his love against your cheeks. Let me tell you something. There's a God I'm preaching about today who created the heavens and the earth. There's a God I'm preaching about today that stepped into a womb of a virgin called Mary. There's a God I'm preaching to you today that was wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger out where the animals ate in the middle of a field. There was a God that when he was born, all heaven stopped and began to rejoice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel came, God with us upon this earth. I'm here to tell you today that there's a God that stepped down from glory into this cursed earth and walked along a road of life for 33 and a half years. And during that period of time, suffered a death, was ridiculed, was smitten, mocked, and rejected by men. He was smitten by us. We caused him to be smitten by our sin. He bore our iniquities. He hung on a cross called Calvary. He died on that cross, gave up his own ghost to the Father, separated from the Father, the worst experience that it could ever happen. I don't understand how God did it, but I am glad that he did. When Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God stepped back from his own glory, stepped back from everything because of the darkness of sin, and Jesus gave up his ghost. I'm talking to you about a God that went down to hell on the second day and set captivity captive. Let me tell you something. Set
them free, that they would be able to worship God in glory. And Jesus came back on the third day, walked out in a bodily resurrection, walked out of a tomb that could not hold the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, spent times on this earth for 40 days going around and encouraging and trying to get the disciples to get back into the step of when he was here, because greater than works that they will do that he did, because they will and do believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I'm talking to you about a God who rose all the way up into glory for nearly 500 men. And the angels of the Lord said, do not worry. He will return the same way that he left. I'm talking about a God one day that's going to step across a starry staircase as the heavens bow and the stars roll back and the planets praise. He's going to come and say, come up hither, and we will be raised before the eyes of the sinners and raised before the eyes of those that curse God and taken up into glory to worship him. I'm talking to you about a God one day that we will follow from heaven as we come down on this earth, a mighty army to defeat the very wiles and the lies and the curses of Satan. I'm talking about a God that you and I are going to take our crowns along with Jesus and lay them at the feet of God. I'm talking about a God that we'll be with for eternity. Someone say, I got faith.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is. I'm so glad he's not a little statue on a dashboard. I'm glad he's not a picture hanging on the wall. I'm glad that he can't be contained anywhere. But I'm glad that he found a spot in our heart to dwell.
Amen.
Praise God. And that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. I love that part because it says those who diligently seek him. As a deer panteth after the brook, so doth my heart panteth after thee. If you know anything about animals, they're not like people. We get thirsty and we don't worry about it. We go on for, you know, we're not thirsty, so I'll get something in a little while. When an animal gets thirsty, they start looking for something to drink. They know where to go and they get there as quickly as they can because they have enough sense, enough instinct to know that water is life to them. My God, I thirst for the Lord this morning. And my heart doth pant after him as the deer panteth after the brook. I want to drink of Jesus and know that my thirst will be quenched forever. Praise God. For the water that I give you, he said to the woman at the well, will quench your thirst and you'll never have to draw the water again. Oh, someone shout amen. Know that there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory that will reward you when you diligently seek him. Diligently seek means that when you're praying, when you're not giving up till you get what you've asked for, you keep knocking, you keep seeking, you keep asking till the door opens, till you get the answer, or till you find what God has for you. I asked for something for God a month ago, it hadn't come yet. My goodness, I'm always asking God. I want him to tell me, be quiet, I've heard enough. I'm wanting him to tell me, hey, be quiet. I don't want to hear it no more. I never hear that from him. I just keep praising him, asking him for what I know he's going to do. I just want to underscore something. I don't pray for any other reason just because I love God. I love to speak to the King who saved me from a desperate life of sin, who took me from the flames of hell and put me into the coolness of his glory. I love the God who took me out of Satan's grip and put me in the palm of his hand and said, no man will ever pluck you out. I love the God who surrounded me with the protection of his angels and the fires of hell cannot burn me at all ever.
I love the God that took the cloud of despair and replaced it with the pinions of his wings. I love the God that took an unsure step and made it a step of confidence because he's leading me down the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I love the God that I can say I fear no death because when I die, I'll be in the presence of the one who created me and saved me. I love the God who will keep me fed in the presence of my enemies to show them that he's a provider even in the times of war. I love the God who said he anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. I love the splashings of the anointing and the wine of his word touching my heart and overshadowing my fears and doubts and allowing my faith to come up because they're watered by his word. Amen. I love the God that says you got a friend, no two friends traveling after you, goodness and mercy. They're watching you from behind as you're entering to get to my house and dwell there forever and ever and ever. I love the God who has an invitation to a world, come unto me and be saved. Amen. Amen.
What is faith? Faith can be defined as knowing that God's word has been applied to your heart. Knowing that God's word's been applied there. What is prayer? Prayer can be defined as God's communicating through you or to you so he can fulfill his purposes for you in your life.
That's what can be defined as. God's just wanting to work through you. He's such a gentleman, he's just waiting for you to invite him.
I love the prayer, use me. You don't have to do anything before that one. You don't have to go through the whole cloud thing, the field thing, the ocean thing, the sun thing. You don't even have to talk about the warmth of the sun on your face or the coolness of the breeze across your neck. You don't have to talk to him about how you feel when you pray that angels' wings are fanning you. You don't have to say all the stuff that poetry likes. Just simply say, use me. Use me, God.
If you want to detail it out, use me to preach, use me to teach, use me to prophesy, use me to work in the apostolic, use me to evangelize, use me in one of the offices of the church, use me to have the gift of giving, use me to have the gift of prayer, use me in the gift of tongues, use me in the gift of healings, use me in the gift of the word of knowledge, use me in the gift of the word of wisdom, use me in the gift of miracles, use me! Let God bless you. Praise God.
I asked God to use me to play musical instruments, and then I went and bought one, a banjo and a fiddle and a guitar, and every time I strum them, God said, I got another job for you. Got something else for you. So the banjo's underneath the bed. I gave the guitar away, and I played Barlow Knife on the fiddle so loud, I think someone stole the fiddle. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you right now, God said, I got another job for you. Praise God. Amen. And all the worship team goes, amen. How do they work together? When we speak out loud our faith, we live that faith out loud also.
When we speak our faith, we live it out loud. When people hear that things are going to be okay, I'm going to challenge you. Go on the mission field. Go take the word to people that don't know Christianity, or they've rejected Christianity, or they're so beaten down, all they think about God is hate. And anger, because they feel that the reason they're there is because of the God of who created the heavens and the earth put them there. Go in there and preach to the destitute. Preach to the disenfranchised. Preach to the marginalized. Preach to the battered woman who's been beaten by her husband or thrown into the streets by her pimp. Her children taken from her and molested by men. Go preach the gospel to them. And don't you go in there saying he may do it. You go in there with faith saying, I know a God that will deliver and save you and heal you and heal your memories. He is the God of faith.
There's a way to pray, and that is praying with a belief that it's out loud. So when you pray, live out your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone once asked me, why do you feed these people? I could have gotten offended because these people. It's very degrading. But I thought for a minute. And I said, let me tell you something. From Nob Hill to the Bowery in Los Angeles to the TL in San Francisco to the inner cities of Chicago under Wacker Road to the depth of the west side of Cleveland, Ohio by the Cuyahoga River to the Bowery in New York to the inner city of Atlanta, down to Miami, where fear reigns in the streets. I said, between those places and what I've just explained to you and everything sandwiched in between, every human being that you could think of has a soul. Amen. And I said, that's why I bring the word to these people. Because there's a soul. I don't look to the outward. I see their problems. I see their discouragement. I see their fear. I see their willingness to just bow down to an enemy of this world. But I pray by faith that God will make a difference. And that's why I do it. Then I asked him, what do you do? The silence came and I walked. The knowledge of God's word in your heart produces the ability to be faithful and also pray in faith to the Father who desires to give you what you have requested. Faith promotes confidence and prayer produces the results of the faith in your heart. Wow. Faith promotes confidence and prayer produces the results. We look at everything and we understand that there's a faith that dwells within our heart. That's the thing that says to you, you can make it. You can get it. You are going to be healed. You are going to be prospered. You are going to get that job. You are going to get exactly what you ask God for. I love what David said in Psalm 30 and 2. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Psalm 38 and 12, I cried out to you. O Lord, and to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mornings into dancing. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, I think the church needs to dance again. Dance like David. Man, I'll tell you right now, I don't even think God would mind if you did the Y2C or the twist. I don't know if God, I don't think God would mind if you did the alligator or anything or the jerk. I don't know, but I'm just telling you right now, God just loves to have you dance before him, praise God. David came dancing into the city. He danced so hard, he danced off all his clothes, and all he had was his loincloth on, and his wife was disgraced, and David wasn't disgraced at all, because he knows he was dancing before a God that declared him victory, amen, declared him. He brought that ark back to the city of David. Hallelujah. God wants you to bring the ark back into your home, back into your dreams, back into your hopes. Dance, dance, dance before the Lord. Yeah. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Man, too many people come to church with their sackcloth on. Huh?
Come on now. Don't go silent now.
Coming in with sackcloth and ashes instead of coming in with gladness.
I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's a warrior who's been in battle said, I've been out of this battle, but I'm not carrying the battle into his presence. I'm taking the gladness of my heart into the presence of the one who makes me glad. Hallelujah.
Well, I've got to say what the Holy Spirit just told me to say, and he even said it's not in your notes. And I went, I know. God has an anointing for each and every one of you in this house. An anointing that's your personal anointing. Thank you, Spirit of the Lord. He just said, tell them, stop living underneath somebody else's fountain. I want them individually to be the fountain with an anointing that others will see and come to me. Oh, praise him for a moment. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord just said into your heart. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Wow. Oh, Psalm 30, and David just went off on it, man. He said, here I am. I cried, you healed me, so I'm going to shout victory. He heard him. He hears you. He wants to anoint you. He wants you to be a fountain of life. He wants you to be that one that'll just flow with anointing. Amen. Amen. You know, this may sound funny to you, but I go to airports. I go to restaurants. I go to stores and grocery stores. I walk down the streets in Santa Cruz. I walk down the streets in this area here. I walk down the streets in San Francisco. I've walked in areas in Tennessee and all over this nation. And when I walk, I notice this. People turn and look at me. And I said, you know I'm not that good looking. And the Holy Spirit said, I know you're not too. He said, but what they're seeing is your anointing. What they're seeing is your anointing. Let me tell you something. God wants your anointing to be an advertisement for his glory. I got to do a word picture now. Spirit of said, do a word picture. This is most people. God wants you to take off that cloak and let people see his anointing and see who you are. Amen. I've been in revival meetings where the Lord said, take your coat off. I've just anointed it and I want you to put it on people. And everybody I put it on, they fell out in the Holy Spirit or began to dance in the Spirit. And they began to run and shout in God's praise and honor because God had anointed the cloak. He didn't anoint the cloak with my anointing. He anointed it with the anointing that was for them. Someone praise God, here I am. Here I am. Jonah cried out in a time of deep darkness. And he said in Jonah 2:2, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. If you're in hell today, cry. If you're in the darkest place of your life today, cry. If you're listening to this digital message and you're in a place today and you have no way out, cry out to God. He'll hear you from the depth of your darkness. He'll hear you from your personal hell. And he will deliver you. He will take you out. He will carry you from that personal hell to the shores of your anointing. And your ministry will begin. Someone shout amen. Amen. I'll tell you one little story here. Then we're going to close it down. Just wait one second, Larry. The blind man receives his sight. Let me break this down for you. Mark 10:46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" So the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's notice some things here in my closing remarks. Let's notice this, okay? Let's look at this as what it's really being said here. The hearing of Jesus' nearness. Just the hearing, not the visual sight of it. Some of us don't get happy in church till somebody else shouts. We don't believe Jesus is here till somebody just goes. Then we know God's here.
That's right.
Just by the nearness that he knew that Jesus caused him to cry out. Travail. He went into labor. He began to pray out with fervency to be heard. Many did not want his faith and prayer to be heard, just like the church. You know, when people start getting happy in church, you've seen this look, haven't you? Don't let the look scare you. The Bible says, fear the one who can put you in hell. Don't worry about the one who may ridicule you. But he cried out even louder. He wasn't going to let the crowd. You know, that was a lot of folks telling him to be quiet, and he went above their voice. He was travailing. You know, some folks pray, "Oh, Jesus, just do it. Thank you. I'm going now. I'll be back about 7 after work. Thank you, Jesus." Man, but that person has a problem. They're really in it. And they're not in it to win it. They're losing. But there's these people who travail. That get on their knees. And they get to the depth of the innermost part of their being. And they cry out, "Oh, Master, oh, God, hear my heart. Enough, oh, God, it's enough. Father, lift this burden off me. Oh, God, I need you." When you travail, hears your labor and will birth your anointing. Praise God. You break out in the Spirit of God and travail in tongues. My kids, when they were younger, I'd be in the office travailing and breaking out in spirit, and they'd ask, "Mom, is Dad all right?" She said, "He's never been better." Jesus caught the ear and the voice of this man. He actually caught in his ear the voice of this man laboring above the voice of the crowd saying, "Be quiet. Don't
trouble Jesus. We want to get out in time for lunch. Sorry. Jesus stood still. Stood still. Your faith should always catch the ear of Jesus, and he will stop. The widow woman with the issue of blood, when she touched his garment, he stopped. Who touched me? He heard him. He stopped. That was in Luke 8. And when Jesus stopped, the blood stopped. When he stopped, Jesus commanded him to come. He may be saying to some of you today, come! Come! But I love what this man did. The blind man threw off all the hindrances that he had and he came to Jesus. He no longer looked at his blindness as a hindrance because the master was calling him and he knew that healing was at the door of his life. Every doubt, every voice of people, that cloak was just a shadow of the hindrances that was keeping him back. I think people in church today need to throw off their cloak, throw off their hindrances, and start running towards the voice of Jesus who's saying, come with faith. Jesus asked him what he wanted from him. He spoke in faith and prayed. I want to receive my sight. I want to be anointed. I want to see. How precious it is to see, both physically and most assuredly spiritually. How precious. He immediately received his sight through faith in Jesus. And look at what he began to do. He didn't go back to the crowd saying, look at me. He didn't do that. He didn't. He simply followed Jesus on the road with his anointing. When Jesus came into my life and opened up my blinded eyes, I've never looked back. For what behind me is sin and degradation, revelry, anarchy, and things that I can't even confess publicly. But when I look ahead, I see a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory bidding me to come and move deeper into the depths of my anointing. Jesus is saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. Why some of you are not moving forward into the depth of your anointing? You're just there. He's touched you. He's healed you. He's saved you. He's called you. He's anointed you. He's blessed you. He's told you. He's instructed you. He said he's going to do it. And then he says to you, do it. And you sit there and stare. I can't believe that my pastor would preach like this. Well, you know what? I wish more pastors would in this country. If you want a tickling ear, I don't have no ticklers. Faith and prayer are partners and bring into your life the results that you have requested of the Lord. Can I be assured of this, Pastor? Last scripture, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Anything according to his will, he hears us. In other words, when we pray, anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Because of these petitions, we will receive them. Now, I amplified that out a little bit. So you understand, by that which you have spoken to him according to his will, he hears you and he will grant you those petitions.
But you got to have faith. You got to have a faith. You got to live your faith out loud. You got to live your prayer life out loud. You got to know how to pray. You got to know how to move in faith. You got to have an ear to hear what God's saying. He may be saying to you this morning, come. Thank you, Spirit of the Lord. He just spoke to me and said he doesn't want anybody in this church to sit backseat to the devil. Kick the devil out and get in the driver's seat. You don't need to sing the country song, Jesus, take the wheel. You can drive, he's there. Just stop when he says stop. Don't run over your neighbor, that's all. I want to ask you today, if you're willing to begin to believe God for what you pray for.